May you be helped commence this morning's service of worship by singing together hymn 574, hymn 574, June Beachley 585. What a precious, needful thing is the Lord and Saviour. Zion shall his mercy sing, now, henceforth, and ever. In him a rich fullness dwells, and is freely given. Law and conscience Jesus quells, crooked things makes even. Hymn 574, June Beachley 585. May we be helped to read together from God's holy word, from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints were in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob, and he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph, he said, blessed the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh, and of Zebulun. He said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar, in thy tents. They shall call a people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand." And of Gad he said, "Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part of himself for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, 'Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan.' And of Naphtali he said, 'O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south.' And of Asher he said, 'Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be.'" There is none like unto the God of Jeshua, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, 'Destroy them.' Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." May the Lord bless his word and help us to call upon him in prayer. Almighty Triune Jehovah, do please help us to come in through that way which thou, dear Lord Jesus, has made for sinners. Dear Lord, thou knowest all that we are. And, O dear Lord, thou knowest our unworthiness. Thou knowest every sin, dear Lord, from our youth upward. All is known to thee. But, O, we plead, dear Lord, that all our sins might be cast behind thy back and remembered no more. Dear Lord, that we might be made acceptable clothed in thy righteousness, dear Lord Jesus. Come in through that way lined out with blood, blood to purge away our guilt. Lord, blood to make us clean, yea, just God, unclean. Oh, may we each know it. And dear Lord, in coming we plead for thy Holy Spirit's leading and teaching, that we might be found asking those things, dear Lord, that are acceptable in thy sight. And what grace we need to do it. We think of that which we have read, even as Joseph was being blessed. There was that being said concerning his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim with those 10,000s, Manasseh those thousands. Yet Manasseh was the eldest. And it was that cross-handed blessing that Jacob gave when he crossed his hands and put his right hand on the youngest head rather than the eldest. Oh Lord, Joseph would not have had it so, but had to bow before. And oh dear Lord, grant us grace to bow before thy holy will, thy perfect will, as we plead for blessings upon each one, gathering together. Lord, what a mercy if each is blessed. Though the blessings that some might receive might be, as it were, of a different degree to those of another. Yet, if each soul be blessed by Almighty God, we pray for it, dear Lord. And Lord, as we read the various blessings upon the tribes of Israel, thou knowest, Lord, there's those desires go out of our heart that we might receive even those blessings. Lord, yet we also think with that fear and trembling how the tribes of Israel have been a stiff-necked and rebellious people, and how the Jews even turned, Lord, to crucify thee. Oh, what a warning is in it all. Oh, may we, Lord, please be kept. We plead for it. Keep us all our journey through, right down to death and through death, Lord. Oh, may not my hand, nor heart, nor head offend against my God. Make me to walk in thy commands, 'tis a delightful road. Oh dear Lord, may we covet earnestly the best gifts and seek after them. Asking for Thee, dear Lord, to grant them to us, that we might be partakers of these blessings, Lord. Oh, dear Lord, Thou knowest the blessing of Joseph, as is detailed in the sermon we hope to read, speaks of those heavenly blessings. Oh, may we each be partakers of them. Lord, the blessings that are for this time and this pathway here below are, Lord, blessings, and we would be thankful for them and would humbly turn again and acknowledge them, Lord. But oh, to have heavenly blessings. Blessing in our soul. Faith. True God-given hope. Love unto Thee. Lord, every keeping grace. Oh dear Lord, may we be partakers, recipients of this blessing. And oh dear Lord, as we come into Thy house, we mourn, dear Lord, how few turn into Thy house. And, oh Lord, we think of the lines of that hymn, "Why was I made to hear His voice and enter whilst there's room?" Oh, dear Lord, whilst others, Lord, make the world their choice and would rather starve than come. And there's that line of the hymn that also refers to whilst others come and go. Oh dear Lord, and do we not witness those that come and go? But our Lord, may we be as those sparrows that make their nest in the house of the Lord, even at Thine altar. Oh, to be found living that life of faith and prayer. Oh, dear Lord, hear what a mercy. The same psalm speaks of the swallows. Also, returning and making their nest in Thy house. And so we will bear before Thee each one that has left Thy courts, as it were migrated into the world. But may they be returning swallows in the appointed season. Lord, please bless them. Give them a hunger, a thirst, a need, an urgency. Constrain them, compel them to return, to be found. Enter in Thy house with desire, that Thou wouldst have mercy on them. And, oh dear Lord, may we who have not been left to leave thy house, also not be left to come and go by habit. May we be wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit, for thy word to be sown in us, for it to spring up and bear thee fruit. May we even be favoured to be 100-fold fruit bearing to thine honour and glory, Lord. Oh dear Lord, bless this little corner of thy vineyard and favour us as we meet together in it to feed upon thy word, that thy word might be found, opened to our souls. Oh dear Lord, that we might be proving it to be profitable to abide with us. To hear thy voice in and through thy word. O Lord, work thy sovereign work of grace. O Holy Spirit, come. Take of the things of God. Reveal them to us. May these things, Lord, be sealed home to us. That we might in our hearts have, as it were, a little Bible made up of those things from thy word that have been applied to our hearts, against which we can write, tried and proved. Lord, tested and proved, not of ourselves, for thy work in us, Lord, causing these things to be a foundation to us, that we might be well founded upon the things of God, and our feet might be set upon a rock, the rock Christ Jesus. And so we come back to our first hymn. What a precious, needful thing is the Lord and Saviour. O Lord, make it so to us each. Lord, please remember each one where they are. Thou knowest there's those that listen in because they are unable to attend. Lord, may they be enabled to prayerfully listen and be gleaners in the corners of the field. Lord, grant them those handfuls of purpose. Dear Lord, remember each one and our brother deacon as he goes to preach. His dear one that goes with him as a hearer and as a support. Lord, may each one be blessed, we pray. And Lord, help us to rightly bear before thee our rulers and those terrible things in righteousness around the world. Oh dear Lord, thou knowest there have been those terrible things of late. Those things that have even hit the headlines. But oh dear Lord, how much is missed. Lord, Lord, we think even of that mighty ship on the sea floor. Lord, of which it was said not even God could think it. And these things are forgotten from one generation to another. And these terrible things in righteousness. And oh dear Lord, now those, Lord, seeking to profit from it, Lord, perishing at it, oh Lord, may we humbly cry, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. We are no better, Lord. Who hath made me to differ? O Lord, may we stand with fear and trembling. And then, dear Lord, thou knowest all those things in Russia. Lord, we think of thy word. All power is given unto me. Yes, Lord, the power that each man has is amongst that power which ultimately is given unto thee. They can do nothing without it being permitted, because all power belongs unto thee. And Lord, we plead for thy all-wise government over all these things. We know not the cause, Lord. Lord, we know not thy holy will. But we would believe, dear Lord, that all these things will work together with the good of those that know the Lord, that love thy name. So, Lord, we commit them all before thee, Lord. Lay them at thy feet and would pray, Lord, that thy will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. But, oh dear Lord, on earth there's so much sin. So much sin and the fruit of sin. Yet may thy sacred will, saving sinners from the death to come, Lord, carry on and be perfected. Lord, thy work is a finished work. But, oh dear Lord, whilst there are those sinners with their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, yet to be called by grace to enter in, Lord, the world will remain. Lord, or may we think on these things and plead for thy work to be known, carried on in our own breast, and that we might walk tenderly in the fear of the Lord. So undertake for us, Lord, forgive our poor prayers, and may thy word brought this morning, dear Lord, be brought in accordance with thy holy will, and may it be thy precious holy will to use it. May thy servant come up amongst us this evening, be sent of the Lord with thy word, and may our ears and hearts be opened to receive it. Bless us freely, Lord, undeserving though we are. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Dear Lord Jesus, thine own dear name's sake, we plead. Amen. The notices for the opening week. Father God willing, Mr. Paul Tyler will preach here on Tuesday evening, next Lord's Day morning and evening. And that the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be observed during the evening service of next Lord's Day. The collection and donations for the month amounted to 725 pence in the general fund, £17 in the benevolent fund. We desire to thank the friends for their willing giving and acknowledge the Lord's mercies in it. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn 713. Hymn 713, tune Eternal Rest, 28. When a faith to Sinai looks, it fills the heart with dread and justifies the dreadful stroke that strikes the sinner dead. That's looking to the law. But when we look to faith, to the gospel, and when by faith we trace Christ, is the only way from endless wrath to endless bliss, we for the blessing pray. Hymn 713, tune Eternal Rest, 28.
Thank you.
has helped. I will read a sermon preached by Mr. Francis Coburn on the 2nd of June 1872. His text you will find in the portion that we read, Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33, verses 13 and 14. And of Joseph he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon." Deuteronomy 33, verses 13 and 14. We read in Acts 7, verse 9, that the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions. That although loved by his God, bought by blood, and having a kingdom prepared and a crown for him to wear, he had to tread through a tribulative path to prove what God could do for him, to prove what God was and he ever will be to his people. And I to see where they are, so as to deliver them out of all evil, troubles and difficulties into which they may come. An ear to listen to their sighs and groans, and feet to walk with them wherever they go, so that there is not a place where his poor people may in his providence be brought, and he is there to help them out, as his wisdom sees fit. What an unspeakable mercy, that wheresoever God may be pleased to let you and me come, he is there too. As it was said, you know, in days gone by, when some were being driven by persecution to distant lands, as they passed along through the streets, there were those who pitied them and exclaimed, "How sad that such folks as these should be driven into exile." But others replied, "Oh, they cannot send them where their God is not. And let God go with a man or a woman. He can make the dungeon a palace, as he did in the case of Paul and Silas, and made them sing while there. But the wicked are not so blessed. They have to bear the remorse of a guilty conscience, and are tormented with fear, reviling God, and are like the troubled sea. When Jacob is blessing his children, he comes to this poor, persecuted and despised youth, as we read in Genesis. And he says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. So let God be with a man and however things may come to pass, he will make all work together for good. Dark as well as light, crooked as well as straight, adverse as well as prosperous, all things, whatever we may think or say, and sometimes we are ready to say, all men are liars. These things can never work together for good. But God has said it, and he will do it. You look at the time of the saints of old, and you will see how all worked for their good. Although the one side might appear to be very dark and perplexing, just as it is with ladies' wool work, you see on the backside of those mats and other things they make, that all appears to be knots and ends, but you can make nothing of them. Turn it over, face upwards, and there you see perfect flowers or birds or patterns of whatsoever design it may be. Although at the back there seems to be no form whatsoever, so it is often in the working of the providence of God. Oh, you say it appears all so dark. There can surely be nothing coming out of this. Hearken to what Joseph's brethren said one to another. We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Look at Joseph, walking up and down in the prison, the iron entering into his soul. But turn now and see it among the all things that are to work together for good. Turn to the other side of the picture, and there you will see him sitting on the second throne in Egypt, swaying his scepter over all the land, while you read his testimony as witness for the providence as well as the truth and love of God. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Therefore hold out faith and patience. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land. Now this blessing was to come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. And if God has blessed you and me with a religion from himself, it will separate us. And I am persuaded of this. The more godly a man is, the more will professors in the world oppose him, because he will stand out the more distinctly and prominently. So a child of God is a reprover of the world. And it is said, they that will live godly must suffer persecution. And the reason why you and I suffer so little from the world is because there is so little real religion in us. The more religion you and I have, the more the world will oppose us, and that will separate us from it. But while it does this, God is with us. So if we have God on our side, it is of little consequence who may rise up against us. The love of God felt in the soul, the testimony of God enjoyed in the conscience, condemns the world. and enables us to say, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." So this is the mercy for you and me, that whatever God may allow us to come into, we find him with us. But you may be ready to conclude at times as Gideon did. If the Lord be with us, why is all this evil befallen us? We are apt to think when we come into trouble, in the various trials and exercises through which God brings his people. Oh, if God was on my side, it would not be so. If God loved me, surely he would not let me be so tried and perplexed and suffer such adversity. Oh, if God loved me, it would be no difficulty for him to give me talents as farthings. For I read that the gold and the silver are his. Then how is it? If God loves me, why am I so as I am? Or in soul experience, if God is with me, how is it I am so tried? He seems to take no notice of my cries. If God loves me, how is it my prayers do not go up? How is it God does not open his hand and his heart toward me? Oh, surely God is not with me. Or else, how is it that all these things have come upon me? Sinners, you find a path in which you have walked, or in which you may now be walking, and see if the saints of God have not been there before you. Then, what have you to complain of? How much better are they than you? Sorry, how much better are you than they? Or when I read in the Word of God how they brought forth fruit unto God, when I look at them and fight then at myself, why, I sink into nothing. When I look at them, I am filled with shame, blushing, confusion. If I have any religion at all, what a little it seems to what they had. Poor soul, what trouble or perplexity are you in that those most favoured ones have not passed through? What path are you in that they have not trodden? Why should I complain of want or distress, temptation or pain? He told me no less. The heirs of salvation I know from his word, through much tribulation must follow their Lord. Joseph, this poor afflicted, persecuted, slandered and reproached man, was beloved of God in all and under all. And God was with him and brought him out of it all, thus proving what he has said, "I will set mine eyes upon them for good. I'll do them good with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Yea, the word has gone out of his mouth, and he will never call it back again." Of Joseph he said, etc. Now, has your religion cost you anything? It cost this man something. What was it stirred up the enmity and rage of his brethren? Why, his father had made him a coat of many colours, showing by this the tender regard and peculiar affection he had for him. And this it was that brought about the trouble. Now, has your religion so provoked your husband or wife or children as to stir up their enmity and cause you some trouble? Has your religion discovered to you what a sinner you are and thus brought you into trouble? Has it so provoked the malice of the devil that he is constantly worrying you, saying that you were never right in all your family duties, in all your business transactions, in all your spiritual exercises, yea, in everything that is godly, pulling everything to pieces, putting the worst face upon everything, making you miserable and unhappy? If so, you will find it will all come out right in the end, and you will have to say, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. I have spit out and said many hard things and cruel things against the Lord God Almighty. To my shame it be spoken, but I must speak well of him at last. Not one thing failed of all that he has promised. All has come to pass, and now, when I get to heaven, how I will sing his praise. I have no doubt in the least, if you have the same religion this poor man Joseph had, in a greater or less measure, you have felt a union of spirit with him, and can say with him, do not I love them that love thee? And can feel in your heart a sympathy with him in his sufferings? Yes, you say, bless God, I can. Then I say, bless God for it, for this proves that you and he are of one spirit. You will not find a carnal man of one spirit with him. He never sympathizes with Joseph in his sufferings, not he. Neither does he rejoice with him when he rejoices. Joseph never comes into his heart and says, I am Joseph, your brother. This proves then that you are separated from your brethren. You are distinct from them. And of Joseph, he said, blessed be his land, etc. It is the blessing of God that maketh rich. Therefore God, in speaking of his people, has said that he will bless their bread and their water. Everything comes to God's people with his blessing. Therefore it is said, better is a dinner of herbs where love is, the blessing of God, than a stalled ox and hatred to God therewith. Now we find at times God is pleased to bless the labour of our hands, so to speak, as my text says, blessed be his land. It is said in Genesis, Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac and appeared unto him and said, sojourn in this land and I will be with thee and will bless thee. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Now the children of God can understand very well about God blessing his people when things multiply. When God sends an increase of business, frees them from debt, and those anxieties and troubles so often connected with it, they can understand all this. But my friends, God blesses the land of his people, though he may not give them an abundance of this world. For remember this, that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So the apostle said, having food and raiment, I have learned therewith to be content. Having nothing, oh, then he will be full of murmuring and discontent. Oh no, having nothing, I yet possess all things. If the man is contented, though he may have but just sufficient from day to day, he feels that he has everything he really wants. So a man may be rich with only a shilling in his pocket, while his neighbour, although very rich, may be miserably wretched because his covetous spirit fills him with a desire to have more. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It has the promise of the life that now is, as well as that which is to come. Thus the man that is contented, the man who possesses nothing. Although he may not know how it will turn out, or how God will work things out for him, yet he trusts in him who has said, I will bless thy bread and thy water. And however scanty or fair, however small a provision, with my blessing, you shall prove it to be enough. If you notice, the Son of God said to his disciples, when I sent you forth without purse or scrip, or shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Oh, but some say, perhaps he sent them amongst friends, who looked after them, to see what they wanted, that they wanted for nothing. No, no. I sent you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. And yet when they returned, they confessed that they had lacked nothing. So we find that God blessed Joseph. What a little he had, and yet how God in his wisdom and providence was pleased to multiply him on every hand. And so it has been with God's people again and again, how little they had, and yet how God was pleased to multiply it. And although they possessed but little, he has been pleased to feed and clothe them from year to year, enabling them to bring up their families and to die out of debt. And though they may not have had anything to leave behind them, yet God blessed the labours of their hands, and they had enough while living. Now I dare say there are some before God who can say that he has blessed their land as he did Joseph's. Because as I've just said, it is not the abundance of the things. It consists only in what we need in eating and drinking and being clothed and paying our way. All beyond that, you know, as regards the use of it, is really useless. However much we may like to possess it, because we cannot trust in God, why do we want to lay up a store against the rainy day, as we say? Has not God promised? Yes, surely he has, but we cannot trust him. But God will have his people trust him and prove the truth of his word. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that trust in the Lord shall not want any good thing. You never found any complain at the last that God ever forsook them, that he ever failed of his word, deceived their hope, or put their confidence to shame. There may be some here who have proved, and may have to do so to the end of their days, that God has blessed their land in giving them their bread and their water, sure and certain, and a contented, thankful heart for what they daily receive, who when they come to the end will have to say they never lacked anything. Although from the time God first took them in hand until then they never had £5 to spare, yet they never lacked anything. Though they cannot tell how this has been, we find Elijah under God's command goes to Zarephath, and there the poor widow is gathering a few sticks, and he said to her, fetch me a little water, and bring me a morsel of bread in thine hand. But she replied, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. But Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall a cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord send rain upon the earth. So she went to the tub, and she poured out the oil from the cruse from day to day, and it failed not, because God blessed their land, according to his promise, I will bless thy bread and thy water. So it never failed until the Lord sent rain upon the earth. O my friends, you will prove his promise true. It must be so, for God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. He has said it, and he will do it. Does not the Son of God teach us to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. As much as to say, you must depend upon God from day to day to supply and bless your land. And Paul tells us so also. No man ever put God more to the test than the great apostle, and no man had much more to try him than Paul had. Look how he was driven up and down in the land. See him, what a hunted man he was, his companions failing him in the hour of need. All men forsook me, nevertheless the Lord stood by me. So we hear him say, My God shall supply all your need out of his riches in the glory of Christ Jesus. Of Joseph he said, etc. So, if you have Joseph's God, he knows how to multiply your little, and when the last shilling is gone, to send another, and when that is gone, to send another. He can supply in thousands of ways that never entered your mind or thoughts. Behold, says the Son of God, the fowls of the air, God feedeth them. Consider the grass and the lilies of the field, God clotheth them. Why, Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. And if God so clothe the grass and feeds the ravens, will he not much rather feed and clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore be not of a doubtful mind, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So it is the blessing of the Lord we see, that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow therewith. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven. What an unspeakable mercy it is to receive anything from God. It is said that God's eye seeth every precious thing. Yea, he seeth every precious thing in your heart and mine. Yea, he regards it and is pleased with it. And we are sure they must be precious things if they come from heaven, for they are brought into the heart by the Holy Spirit of God. The scripture makes use of the term precious in three ways. There are precious promises, precious blood, and a precious Christ. These are what the Holy Scripture, these are what the Holy Ghost calls precious. But there are other things in Scripture called precious, which must all come to an end. Abraham's servant went to fetch a wife for Isaac, and came to the house of Bethuel, and it was said that Laban, Rebekah's brother, brought him in, and the family entertained him kindly. Then the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things, so that he might win them over to his master. Now, whatsoever might be the worth and attractiveness of these things, they have all perished and are gone. Gone with all their beauty and greatness, forever gone. For they were not the precious things spoken of in my text. But they attracted the mind and heart of Rebekah. For when they said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" she said, "I will go." For no doubt, she thought, if his master has servants at his command and trusts with all these things to bestow upon us so lavishly, what must Isaac be worth? So she went willingly with the servant and found that she was not mistaken, and she had got a good husband into the bargain. Again we find that when the Babylonish ambassadors came to Hezekiah, he showed them all the house of his precious things, and all that was found in his treasures. But he lost them all. They're all gone. What Hezekiah answered, "There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." Then said Isaiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. All that is in thine house shall be carried into Babylon. There shall be nothing left, saith the Lord." So you find it all flew away. Therefore these things that we cannot keep, and that perish with the using or the abusing, are not worth much to us, are they? However precious we may think them. But here in my text, we have the precious things of heaven. And what is one of these which God bestows, and only upon his children, his loved ones, his predestined ones, the election of grace, whom he hath separated from the world by discriminating grace, whom he hath blessed with all spiritual things in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? Why, one of these precious things of heaven is faith. For it is said of faith that it is more precious than gold which perisheth. Oh, what a precious thing is faith. You believe in God, that he is a righteous God, a holy God, a merciful God. Yea, you believe in Jesus Christ, and your faith draws virtue from the Son of God. Your soul wrestles with God in faith, and you say, "By faith I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He is a precious thing that unites a man to the Son of God. What a precious thing that must be, which brings peace into the heart and conscience as you read, "Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." A faith that unites to the Lamb is more than mere notion or whim. Oh yes, it is the work of God's Spirit, it is indeed. What a precious thing. For while it makes a man a believer, it causes him to set to his seal that God's word is true, that he is a sinner. So then faith believes the word of God. He believes just what God has said about him, that he is full of abominable, creeping things, that his heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, that in him that is in his flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And shall I still go lower? Yes. It makes him believe that by nature he is earthly, sensual and devilish, that the imaginations of his heart are evil, only evil, and that continually. There is faith. Oh yes, this precious thing of heaven not only makes him see and confess that what God has said in his word about him is true, but in the long run it will bring him to Jesus Christ. Mindness, faith comes from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. And no man can persuade you that you are really such a sinner. This is God's work alone. If I were to show you by the word of God from Genesis to Revelation what God says about you, and back it with 100 examples, you would not believe it to be so bad. You would turn your mind to this man or that woman, or fix the blame in this quarter or that, any way to creep out of it yourself. No man will believe until persuaded and convinced by the Spirit of God that he really is as bad as God's word declares him to be. But when God works faith in his heart, in the truth of it, then no man can persuade him out of it. Whatever he may hear or know of other things, he is now persuaded that God's word is true, that he is a sinner. Whether he should be saved and go to heaven, or whether he should be lost and sent away with the wicked at last. But oh, this precious faith, how, as I said, it will bring the man in the long run to believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom he is chief. He loved me, he says, and gave himself for me, and now I know in whom I have believed. I know that my Redeemer liveth. There's faith. Oh, what this faith will do. It will bring the weaker saint to draw fruit from Christ. I believe he will cry, "Help thou mine unbelief," throughout his way. Now a man, you see, may have faith that will take him to heaven, although it be but as a grain of mustard seed, as the Son of God said in Matthew, "If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Yea, you shall overcome the devil himself, if you have only a grain of faith." Then what a precious thing this faith must be. Why? It will enable the man or woman to believe in Christ, even as he did, who said, "To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ that should come into the world." Now, my friends, have you that faith? Yes, you say, "I have." I cannot say this, that he will save me, or that I'm justified freely from all things, or that I have that faith that unites me sensibly and feelingly to Christ. But I can say, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, black I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Yea, I can say that. Then I can tell you, it is from God. And blessed art thou, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. For none can work the work that faith in your heart but God. And I tell you what that faith will do for you. And although you may question it over and over again, yet your questionings will never prove me a liar, or my speech of nothing worth. Oh no, for that faith will bring salvation to your soul. As it is written, receive in the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Then that must indeed be a precious thing that will save a man. And how at times it will remove mountains, and scattering all his fear, it will enable this man to believe that God is the strength of his heart and will be his portion forever. And he will venture upon God in everything and for everything with this faith felt and realized in his heart. It is said of the thousands that die in the wilderness, that they should not enter into the promised rest because of unbelief. Then what a precious thing faith must be. When Moses was drawing near to his end and went and spake unto all Israel, giving his charge to Joshua and delivering the law to the priests for them to read to the people, he makes a protestation to them and to the elders, showing them the mighty wonders and miracles wrought on their behalf by the power of God in the overthrow of Pharaoh and the subduing of the nations round about them, showing them how their fathers had moved God to jealousy and provoked him to anger, so that he hid his face from them, saying, I will see what their end shall be. It is said, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. And this being the case, they were damned for their unbelief. Then what an unspeakable mercy, what a precious thing from heaven to have a grain of that faith that brings us to believe in God, to believe in his Christ, to believe in his word, and thus save our souls from a burning hell. You'll see what it is. It honours God, and he will ever honour it. If you look, you'll see how God honours it. Nebuchadnezzar makes a decree that all the people shall fall down and worship the golden image that he has set up, and they that would not should be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And the word was brought unto him that there were certain men who would not do it, and they had more faith in God than to be alarmed by all the threatenings of the king. So they are brought before him, and he asked, is it true that I hear you will not worship my image? And they answered, it is true, O king. Then said he in wrath, there is but one decree for you. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Then was the king full of rage, but faith held them fast to their God, and all his rage was nothing to them as long as they rested in the power, faithfulness and love of God. And now it is for God to honour that faith. Into the furnace they go, but God goes to. Oh yes, they held fast to God, and so he stood fast by them. Then the king came to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, "Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth." So God looks after his servants who believe and trust in him. See how Paul sums it up in his epistle to the Hebrews. These all, just you look at them, what a persecuted folk, what a tried people they were. But let us see the end. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but were persuaded of them. So God was not ashamed to be called their God. They believed in him, and God owned them. And now they sing his praise. Oh, this faith is a precious thing. Where'er it is bestowed, it boasts of a celestial birth and is the gift of God. And this faith Joseph had. Therefore it is said in my text, and of Joseph, etc. And poor man or woman, what a blessed faith this, that thus unites us to Jesus Christ and enables us to say, this God is my God, forever and ever, and living or dying, I am the Lord's. There's a precious thing from heaven, that although you cannot say this house is mine, or that land is mine, yet you can say at times, I believe in God, my Lord and my God. Oh, that is a precious thing. And you will find that this faith will do you good when you come to die, when all other things fail and prove to be worth nothing to you. Oh, then to feel, into thine hands I commit my spirit, for thou hast redeemed me, Lord God of truth. You will indeed find this faith to be a precious thing from heaven. But we must leave the subject for the present. If the Lord will, take it up again at the evening. The Lord add his blessing. Amen. Let us conclude by singing together hymn 225. Hymn 225. June Sabbath Eve, 919. Faith, 'tis a precious grace, where'er it is bestowed, it boasts of a celestial birth and is the gift of God. Hymn 225, June Sabbath Eve, 919. Dear Lord, to possess that precious gift of faith, and lead us safely on, teaching us by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, do please forgive all that thou hast seen amiss in our worship, Lord. Anything, Lord, that's been in accordance with thy holy will, please own and bless it, Lord. And bring us up, Lord, after the interval, we pray, with a desire, prayerfully exercised, Lord. Bring thy servant up with thy word, prayerfully exercised also, Lord. And may there be that uniting in the answer of prayer, that the word might be sent forth with power and accomplish that whereto thou sendest it. And may our hearts be on the stretch after it, Lord, we pray. Oh, may our cry be, Jesus, thou Son of David, pass me not by. So, Lord, may we pray the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit be known and rest with us each. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.